Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, October 19th, the year of our Lord, 2025. This is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. It's good to be back in the sanctuary with the busyness of the Songwriters Festival and things last week. I was unable to record something new for you. I pray that the representation of last week's podcast was helpful and inspiring. But here I am in the place that I maybe love most on the beach, and that is our sanctuary space. It's another. We've had a run of beautiful October weather. Now, don't tell anybody, but October is the best time of the year to visit Pensacola Beach. If you want a foretaste of what heaven might be like, come down here and walk the beach and get in the water and enjoy some good food and all the stuff that Pensacola Beach has to offer, especially at this time of year. I digress. That was our message from the Board of Tourism. I hope to express just my joy at being with you today, and I want to just jump in to what is our custom and practice as we gather together in reflection and worship, and that is to give thanks to God for all things, and to begin that practice by taking in a big deep breath, holding on to that breath, savoring it. It's the breath of life. It's a gift from Almighty God. Let it go. Take it another one. It's there for the taking. And thank God for that breath. And as you continue to breathe, call to mind those things in your life for which you are most grateful, that you would count as the most precious to you. The people and the places, the opportunities, situations, call them to mind. And maybe it's a whole stack of things. And look at them, name them, and thank God for each and every one of these people, these places, these opportunities. Thanks be to God. Maybe turn your face toward the sky and open your arms out wide. Thank you, God, for this moment in time, this precious gift of our lives, the life of faith, your presence with us in all things, in this spirit and in this posture, let us begin together in worship. And so let's join together in our call to worship. You can find the call to worship printed in the digital bulletin that comes with the podcast. Just go over to the left margin of where you found today's podcast, just below the line. It says Sermon Notes. Click on that space, and the bulletin will come up for you. And so let's begin. Brothers and sisters, let us set our minds on what is true and good. We will think on what is honorable, just, and pure. Let us fill our hearts with what is lovely and worthy of praise. We will dwell on the things of God, who is our peace. Come, let us worship the Lord who fills our minds with truth and our hearts with joy. We come with thankful hearts to worship God.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians in the first chapter, starting at verse 2 and finishing at verse 10. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord was sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we give you thanks. We thank you for the gift of this, your good and living word. And we pray, O God, that you would bless us with ears to hear your voice, to discern your truth. And we pray, O God, that you would save us. Save us from misinterpretation. Save us from distraction, so that our minds would be opened, our hearts would be softened, and we could live into this beautiful, life-giving word. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, I have set out to preach a couple of sermons on church and the gift of being a small church in particular. The origins, the motivation for wanting to preach these messages and to really try to lean in and think about what it means to be church, it came a few weeks ago. I was sitting in my office and doing some planning. We have a church council meeting coming up, and this is the time of year when we begin to make budgets, operational budgets, about how much stuff is going to cost and how much money we need to pay for it, right? Those basic things. And how many people are in worship, and how can we get more people to come? How can we get kids to come? What are our outreach opportunities? This planning work about volunteers and logistics and money and budgets, the stuff that is very quantifiable and good. They're not bad things, but they're not first things. And I think that's when I had to turn off the computer and push away from my desk and take stock. Because at least to my mind on that day, doing that work was focusing on what we didn't have, focusing on lack rather than the abundance of life in Christ, right? To be super theological about it. But that's what's true. And I thought, well, where do I turn for some inspiration and motivation? And didn't have to look far. I think you can look to any of the epistles of Paul in particular to these churches, churches that he founded, churches like the one in Thessalonica. If you look in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, you hear the story, you read the story of Paul and Silas who make their way into that place. And Paul preaches in the synagogue over a series of three Sabbath days. And he reads them their scripture. He does what Jesus did. He tells them their story, their sacred and defining story through the perspective of Christ. And for many of them, their hearts melt. That word is received. The gospel story of the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and promised return of Jesus changes their lives. They don't just assent to it with their minds. They don't just understand it, take in the narrative of it. They realize that it's deeply personal, that it can change their whole outlook on life. It changes who they are and how they operate in the world. And it happens for them. It starts there in that sermon series that Paul preaches. But it takes hold. And again, it's not just a story they like to tell each other. It changes the way they live. And they become this Christ-centered community of salt and light. And those who imagine themselves to be in control don't like it. Because if all this peace and love breaks out in the world, if all this charity and compassion, well, then the mechanisms of corporate control lose their power. And it becomes dangerous. They're persecuted. Paul and Silas have to leave town. But that doesn't end the movement. It wasn't about Paul and Silas. It was about Jesus the whole time. And the heart of the persecution, heart of the persecution that happens, it seems that they grow in faith and numbers. And to the point, even when they're out of town, this movement that starts at the Thessalonian church starts to overflow the borders. The word is out. The word is alive. The word of Jesus. Life in abundance. Life eternal. And people who dwelled in a deep darkness, people who thought that work and pay and live and die was the mantra of the human experience, came to know that there was something more excellent and more beautiful in what it means to be a human being, alive and in Christ. That's our foundation. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, as we sing. And so in thinking about church budgets and in thinking about how we would like more people and bigger budgets and more opportunities, it is for us to take inspiration from this church and the early church like it, that we're inheritors of their work and their faith. The fact that we even know the name of Jesus is because of them. It starts with them. Those who were willing to take the risk to preach the gospel. Generation upon generation and institutional churches sprung up from those seeds. And we inherit things that are great and maybe things that are not so great. But it seems the things that are ingenuine and not of Christ eventually fall away. And what we always have is the essential church. And I think this is what we receive then in our small churches. That if there are things that maybe served us for a time, but they don't any longer they fall away. And that the numbers of people in worship or the size of the budget isn't an indication of anything that the church has done wrong. It's just where they are. It's just where they are in a particular time and place. It makes me think of the times Jesus out doing his preaching and teaching, and it's everyone's so enthralled and they're hanging on every word and he's healing and they can't get enough of it, and the hours pass by and then the sun is beginning to set and they realize they're all hungry. And rather than focus on their lack, Jesus calls them to think about what they have and to give what little they have to him. And in his hands, it will be multiplied. Little church, can you hear me? Let's not focus on what we don't have. Let's not focus so much on where we think we ought to be. Let's celebrate where we are right now, right here, the people that are in worship with us, those who are able to support us financially. Always with the open invitation for anyone to come and join the party. But we do so. That invitation is to first things. First and foremost word, that the gospel is preached, that Jesus lives. And then from that good news, we have the prayers and the songs and the sacraments. Come and break the bread and take the cup. Receive Christ into yourself and go out and share that with others. And if we adhere to first principles, if we keep first things first, the numbers will shake out the way they're supposed to shake out. It's not an indifference. It's not a sermon talking about having an indifference to the numbers. It's just putting them in their proper place. That any infrastructure we build, any marketing communication strategy we develop, has to serve the gospel and not the other way around. And so I can speak most specifically and with the greatest level of knowledge to my little church, Pensacola Beach Community Church. I don't know, we have about 45 people on average in worship. And I think we list about 80 some odd as active members. And we're blessed to welcome visitors from all across the country, all around the world, people coming to enjoy this beautiful beach. But this little church perseveres because what is here is the gospel expressed in the daily lives and in the faith of just regular people. People working their best at prayer. People doing their level best to offer loving kindness to one another and to people in the community. The friends that take other friends to their doctor's appointments, the friends that come over and hold the newborn baby, those who come together to celebrate baptisms and weddings, funerals, community laments, the gift that is the church and the world. A place to come and celebrate and be deeply generous with one another. And a place to come when the events of the community around us seem overwhelming, that they make no sense. And in the sometimes violent and chaotic world we live in, we come here and we give voice and rite and ritual and sacrament and sign to the goodness of God in all things. This is the gift of being church, large or small. One of the blessings of being small and being pastor of a small church is I know just about everyone that comes through the door by name. We've had a meal together. I've been by their house. I know the stuff that they're going through. And that's not just me to them, it's them amongst each other. And it's special. It's not just nice. I preach this, I don't know, all too often, but sometimes we reduce those things as to nice. We kind of put like a Hallmark movie veneer on them. Those relationships are sacred, particularly when Christ is named. When someone can say to the other over coffee hour after worship, or when they get together to walk or work out or however everyone interacts within our congregation, I'll be praying for you. What's on your heart? Because we have this central part of our relationship that we've both found new life in Jesus Christ, I can talk to you, I can engage with you at the soul level. Not just talking about politics or sports or stuff, but the stuff of life and the beauty of life eternal. There's so much more to say about the life of faith that's expressed in the church, the body of Christ. But I want to say this. For some reason, you've found your way to this podcast that is birthed in the sanctuary of the Pensacola Beach Community Church. And if you've listened this far, I want you to understand that you're a part of a church, at least this one. And maybe you physically can't be present here, but your attendance here at the podcast is important to us. Maybe send us an email. You can find that at thebeachchurch.com. Or maybe if you're physically able, if it's a possibility for you, if you're not affiliated with a church where you are, maybe use this little sermon series as a prompt. There might just be a little church around the corner, that one you drive by all the time and you're not sure if it's open or closed. Or maybe it's the big and seemingly thriving church that you pass all the time. Maybe pop in. Spend a morning in worship. Get to meet a few people. And pray to the Spirit. Is this a home for me? We're called to community. We're called to be church. And it does manifest itself in different ways. But my hope, my evangelical zeal and message is not so much about how many people come to this particular building on a Sunday morning, but it's that they find a home somewhere. A home where the good news of Jesus Christ is preached and received as healing, comfort, as challenge to a more excellent way of being here and now and forever. It's a home and a place and a community that at her best is the provider of very good news. To which I say, Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. And we gather in this unique expression of church. Some of us out walking, some of us on the living room sofa, some of us maybe propped up in bed. But we've come to hear your word live and among us. We give you thanks for it. We pray for your inspiration. We confess there are so many times when we are distracted and the last thing on our minds seems to be the things that are of you. And so we pray in this moment that we could turn all of these distractions over to you, the ways we have sinned and fallen short, that we could trust them in your gracious, loving care. And that we could humbly ask for the promise of our faith that when we confess these things to you, you forgive us. You pick us up and dust us off and put us back on the road of truth and grace and peace and love and joy. We thank you. We thank you, O God, with all the faith that we can muster, with all the best of our being. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hand. We pray over this, your good world, and we pray for the people in positions of power and influence that they would truly come to hear the gospel and respond in loving kindness and in charity and in grace and peace. And Lord, you know the concerns of our hearts, the things that light us up inside, the things that make us joyful, and you know the other things too, the things we worry about in our own lives and the lives of our friends and family, all these things. Some of us write them down, we keep a list. But we take a moment, God, in the midst of this time of worship and reflection to just be silent and to trust these lists to you, to turn them over to you. And we pray that in the silent space you would speak to us. Please speak, for we are listening. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we pray. We pray in the manner of our brothers and sisters of the early church. We offer to you the prayer that you taught your first disciples, and we pray that you would hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with a revitalized understanding of what it means to be church, the body of Christ. We are church together, each one of us uniquely gifted to bring the good news to the world. The good news of our loving God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.